What's going on, everybody? This is Robert English, your SoCal Seahawk, and thank you for joining me on episode 2 of Short Yardage. And here we are again, another sad story, another sad day, another sad podcast. The Seattle Seahawks go up against the Atlanta Falcons in Seattle at Lumen Field, lose the game ultimately 27-23, and another exhibition in just complete utter defensive ineptitude. I mean, we cannot stop a runny nose right now. It's unbelievable how poor our defense manages to play at any given time, at any given play. I mean, just in any time the defense has an opportunity to stand up and make a play, even when the odds are in our favor, we manage to give it up. 3rd and 19. How do you give up a 3rd and 19? I mean, and it just happens all the time. It seems to happen all the time anyway. The game was just so ugly. We can't get both things working at the same time. Not yet this season have we seen both aspects of the team, offense, defense, special teams. I guess that would be all three, not both. But we've yet to see all aspects of the game run efficiently. There's been an issue in one place or another, even in the win against Denver, right? Even there, we allowed Denver to move right up and down the field. We got some fortunate breaks deep in our own red zone. They still had what, over 400 yards total on the game. The offense played well in the first half, but fell completely off in the second half. Same thing on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, we go into the break up 20-17, which wasn't great, but I mean, a lead is a lead. It was nice. And then the third quarter, Atlanta scores 10 points to our 3. It was just really bad. The defense, it's the defense. Okay. We've done a lot of talking. There's been a lot of comments. There's been a lot of back and forth about what the problem actually is. People want to blame everything on Geno Smith. He's not the quarterback of the future, yada, yada, yada. There's nothing to blame on Geno Smith right now. Right? Nothing really to blame on Geno Smith. Geno Smith is not the quarterback of the future. We all know this. Geno Smith wasn't given this job with the idea that he would be the quarterback of the future. You're beating a dead horse talking about Geno Smith. However, Geno Smith is out there playing good football. He's not turning the ball over. Right? He's making good sound decisions. Now he did have one pass that went right through the hands of a defender. He had one really bad pass on Sunday against Atlanta. Just fortunate that the defender dropped it. But for the most part, Geno Smith is out there playing sound quarterbacking. He's doing sound quarterbacking out there. We had some offense. But for every bit of offense that we had, Atlanta was able to match it. We cannot stop anything. The run defense was just atrocious. Now, Cordarrelle Patterson is no slouch, not by any stretch of the imagination. Cordarrelle Patterson can run the ball. He's always been able to move. He's got some speed on him. But where is the defense? And you're not going to convince me that it's only because of the absence of Jamal Adams that we're so poor at stopping the run. Okay, I'm not buying that. Even when Jamal Adams has been on the field, it hasn't been that much better. I'm not talking about this season. Obviously, he hasn't been on the field this season, but in previous seasons. We're just not. The reality is we're just not good. This Seattle team is not good. It isn't to say that we can't get good, but we aren't good right now. We ran the ball well as well. The offense performed so well in the first half. With the exception, however, of getting the ball in the end zone. That was my big bugaboo on Sunday against Atlanta. There was two situations in the first half, one in the first quarter, one later in the second quarter, before the half, where we were in the red zone, I believe right around the 10-yard line, maybe just inside. And I think the first one was just inside the 10-ish, and the second one was just outside the 10. Third and two, third and three, and each time we go to the end zone at DK Metcalf, both times. And I'm wondering, you know, on one hand, you don't always want to play conservative. I get that. You want to sometimes you gotta go for it, but get the first down. Why take the shot in the end zone if you don't have to, right? There was time on the clock. Okay, get the first down and take it and have another two or three stabs at it, right? The first time, the first instance in the first quarter, you know, third down and third and three, a third and two. We throw, Geno was looking at DK on both of these occasions. I think he was eyeing DK the whole time. Like, there was no one else he was looking for on these pivotal third down plays. Pivotal third down plays, there was nobody he was looking at other than DK Metcalf, which is what we want to see, right? You want to be looking to your X factor in the red zone. It makes total sense. However, on the first instance in the first quarter, Geno Smith takes the snap, looks left, and tosses the ball up to that far left corner. Completely missing Marquise Goodwin, who ran a slant from the right side, was wide open. He was wide open. Go back and watch that play. If you have the ability to go back and watch this game, watch that first third and three, where we went to DK Metcalf and he missed it. Marquise Goodwin broke wide open. He had at the very least the first down. I mean, by the time he caught the ball, he was already past the marker. He might have been able to score, but Marquise Goodwin was wide open. He was wide open. The second time around, just before the half, similar situation. I think Kobe Parkinson had a better angle had a better look, I should say, than what he ended up doing, which is, you know, waiting a little longer and then tossing something high and fast toward DK Metcalf, and you know he was unable to get down with it. And I guess, you know, I guess to be fair, you the guys are out there playing ball, right? You can't split hairs and critique too much. The first one for sure. I just think that, you know, a better quarterback might have looked elsewhere, or if that's your shot. You know, that's your shot. I'm not sure if that's play calling or if it's quarterback play. Jury's out on that for me. You know, what's your guys' opinion? But one thing is for sure. I mean, there was no other place Geno Smith was looking than DK Metcalf on that first third and three. And Marquise Goodwin did indeed break wide open. So, you know, there was another option. And those two situations, we only got field goals. Only got field goals. Right? So we got 6 points instead of, you know, 14. You know, and I mean, that breaks the game wide open. That breaks the game wide open if we get in the end zone or even just one of those. Even just one of them. It breaks the game wide open. So... It's it's bad. It's a bad situation. We should have won this game for a lot of different reasons. And then at the end, we still have, you know, players. You know, last week it was rookies, you know, making a lot of bad plays, penalties, what have you. This time it was Damian Lewis, I think, that got the long ball called back, or the big play called back. That would have put us at about the 9-yard line with a huge opportunity to win the game. And that gets called back. And I think, you know, obviously Damian Lewis is not a rookie, but I think it comes, you end up having to push harder to press, because you kind of got to make up for the lack of experience with these young guys. You got to push a little harder. You know, what could have been ultimately the game winning play, not the play that scored the points, but that would have made the play. That would have made the game right there. If we get that first down inside the 10-yard line, we're going to score. We're going to score. We were moving the ball well. It didn't look like Atlanta's defense had much for us on that drive. We were going to score. And we would have had a great opportunity to win that game. But we just can't get out of our own way. And it's a problem. If you look at the stat line, I mean, it really does look like Seattle, you know, should have had a very good chance at winning this game. You know, it goes Atlanta's way in a couple stats, but I mean, we threw the ball. It was the running game. We threw the ball well. We converted pretty well on third down. You know, it's tough to put a finger on it, except for just to say that the team is just not good. The team is just not good, and we have to accept this. Right? We have to, you know, temper our expectations here. Is it to say that this team can't get good enough to compete as the season, you know, as the season continues on? You know, I wouldn't bet the farm on it. You know, but I think that we're going to win a few more games. There's just so much that is close. There's a lot that's close. The defense is not close. The defense is not close. But if we can hang with teams, if we can put points up on the board like we did against Atlanta, and get out of our own way, we might be able to outscore some teams. Maybe. The elite teams, not sure about that, but we might be able to outscore some of the teams that are, you know, more middle of the road. Maybe, you know, average to above average, but the elite teams are probably gonna cook us. So there isn't a whole lot to say about this game. It was very disappointing. There was a lot of reasons to cheer in this game because there were so many points scored, you know, relatively speaking, you know, early in the game anyway. But watching the Atlanta Falcons run the football all over us, it was just, you know, just watching somebody, you know, just get beat up. It's like watching someone, you know, just get beat up. That's the way I felt about it. Atlanta ran the ball 31 times. For 179 yards. 179 yards. If you don't know, that's a lot. 179 yards on the ground is a lot. It's just, yeah. Cordell Patterson, 17 for 141 and a touch. Plus the 40-yarder that he broke. Yeah. Yeah, it's bad. Not only is that bad, and then we go to the comments, which is the fun part of the podcast this year, the comments about why the Seahawks lost, which is hilarious. And so, you know, to segue, let's go to the comments. We got a guy named Chad Wambolt, who has been vocal. Chad has had a lot to say. Let's see, what do we got here? Augusta LeBlanc says, we switched from a 4-3 defense to a 3-4, and that was just another way of saying we are still running Pete's outdated defense in a new form factor. I don't know if that tracks. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Douglas Christopher says the game has passed Pete Carroll by. Until fans and ownership accept this, there will be no playoffs in Seattle. I disagree with that. The game hasn't passed Pete Carroll by. And I responded to that comment. And I said, so are you saying that our current roster is as talented as previous defensive rosters? Douglas says Pete chose this roster and they're terribly coached. So why did the LOB succeed? I mean, he chose that roster too, right? People are so quick to demonize Pete Carroll. And we just are going to completely conveniently leave out the fact that the personnel is completely different. Who on this team was on this team from the Super Bowl years, from the LOB years? Right? Like the team is different. It's like you're expecting the LOB to be there with completely different players in the field. That's not possible. It doesn't seem like rocket surgery, right? The LOB defense is not being seen on a weekly basis because the LOB doesn't exist anymore. So stop looking for that type of production. Yeah, the defense is bad. We get that. But if you're looking for LOB type production, you're going to be left high and dry every Sunday. I don't know where people's heads are at. Chad Wambolt thought it was necessary to tell everybody his whole life story, in order to give his take on the game. But Chad Wambolt says that the problem is DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf is continuing to make not just rookie mistakes, but things that high school receivers shouldn't make. Chad Wambolt says he would love to coach DK on how to properly play wide receiver. Chad Wambolt says this. He would love to coach DK Metcalf. Yeah, that DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf out of Mississippi. Right, that plays for the Seattle Seahawks. Chad Wambolt says that he could coach him up. I asked Chad what are these mistakes he speaks of. Chad Wambolt says he doesn't come back for the ball. His routes aren't good. He doesn't fight for the ball in a contested play. And he doesn't look the ball in. And I thought those were all hilarious. He didn't understand why I thought it was hilarious. It's crazy how some people who, you know, they might claim to know football, and maybe they do, but how nonchalant people are with critiquing these players who are literally these world-class athletes, right? World-class. There's 1,700 people, roughly, in the NFL. Players, 1,700 out of the whole country, right? I won't say world, I'll say country, because you know this game is pretty much only played in the United States. 1,700 players. Most of them make $1 million or more. And you just are just going to nonchalantly just walk up and talk about how, you know, how poor they are. Now, you could talk about, critique their play in a game, but to suggest that the DK Metcalf somehow does not know how to play the position he plays, that he gets paid millions of bucks to do. He doesn't look the ball in, doesn't come back on his routes, like, he doesn't contest. Have you not been watching this season? DK has made no less than 3 amazing high-pointed contested catches. Like, DK is doing his thing this year. The one bugaboo that DK Metcalf had coming out of Mississippi was his route running. And it's already been said on multiple occasions that he has cleaned up his route running, you know, by leaps and bounds. Not at all the same receiver he was at Ole Miss. Chad Wambolt told me, if I played the position, it's the kind of thing that would bother me. But he was a wide receiver in high school, and he was, you know, he's been a fan since the Steve Largent days, and that's who he's comparing DK Metcalf to. And until DK Metcalf gets to Steve Largent status, then I guess he's just insufficient. So more power to you, Chad Wambolt. Jeez, Chad Wambolt was on a roll. Chad Wambolt says that the defensive struggles, certainly on Sunday, Seattle's defensive struggles, the responsibility rests solely on Shane Waldron. I mean, that's got to be some high-level science right there. Chad Wambolt must know more about football than any person ever. He'd have to explain that to me like I was 5, that our defensive struggles are Shane Waldron's fault. Now, I would get it if you're trying to say that poor play calling was leaving the defense in poor situations. You know, punting the ball from our own end zone and things like that. But that's not what's going on here, Chad, at all. We are able, for the most part, to get ourselves to a situation where even if we have to turn the ball over, you know, we're punting the ball to the other team and flipping the field. So not quite sure how that falls onto the offensive coordinator. I guess if I was going to give you anything, I would say, you know, if you don't end up holding the ball enough over the course of a game, if you don't have at least an even time of possession ratio, then yeah, your defense is on the field far too long, which, you know, is what happened against the 49ers. But even then, you know, the way you just knee jerk reaction with that comment just doesn't quite make sense. Chad Wambolt. Is anybody else even commenting? This guy's all over the place. Some guy named Joe York writes that he thinks Geno Smith can lead us to the Super Bowl. We're 1-2 right now, but I think we can win 13 games this season and make it to the Super Bowl. Geno will want to be paid, because I think he will be in the running for league MVP. You think we should pay Geno after our Super Bowl win this year? That's got to be a troll, right? There's no way. There's no way anybody writes that seriously. We're 1-2, and he thinks we're going to win 13 games this year? 13 games this year. So Joe York thinks we're going to go 12-2 on the rest of the year. Hey, that'd be awesome. No, but then, and then in his post, he leaves a picture of some, you know, a model in lingerie, but writes "Go Seahawks" above it. But the "Go Seahawks" is written in Broncos colors. Like, that's got to be a troll. There's no way that's real, right? Thanks for nothing, Joe. Let's see here. Michael, ooh, how do you say this last name? Mr. Admin of the group, of the Seattle Seahawks group on Facebook. Michael Renvoice. I'm going to say Renvoice. Michael Renvoice. Seahawks are now 4.5-point dogs at Detroit. Apparently the line is moving towards Seattle's favor with Detroit's issues and on the injury report. But Seattle's still going to be a road dog two straight weeks. Well, two straight games anyway. Yeah, for sure. There's no reason why we wouldn't be a dog on the road. We were a dog at home against Atlanta. Beat only a point, so it's almost a pick 'em. But even still, there's no reason why you would expect Seattle to go anywhere and win a football game. The team can't stop the other team. And Detroit is actually playing fairly well on the offensive side of the football. They scored, from week 1, 2, and 3, they scored 35, 36, and 24 points respectively. Their offense is moving the football. They're averaging right about 400 yards a game on offense. Yeah, that's a problem. They're putting, now they played, they lost to Philly. They beat the Washington team, their stupid name. And then they lost to the Vikings. So it'll be two run-of-the-mill teams going up against each other. One team that has been able to move the ball offensively against a team that has been able to stop absolutely nothing. There's no reason to believe that Seattle's going to go into Detroit. And do you think that Seattle has a chip on their shoulder right now, or do you think they're defeated? If you had to pick one, If we're are we defeated? Are we dejected, or are we mad and angry and ready to go, rip someone's throat out? Yeah. Rhonda Moore says, at least we beat Denver. I'm so sick of seeing that. At least we beat Denver. Like, come on. I mean, I get it. Not everybody's the same type of fan, but come on. At least we beat Denver. That's nonsense. Right, I'm not ever going to sign on for the tank narrative. Go out there and play football. Try to win some games. Geno Smith is getting in trouble in the comments because, he said that they wrote him off and he didn't write back. And now they're taking that and, they're working that back against him. Chad Wamble says that, hey, don't look now. We have the best quarterback in the NFC West. Let's not jump ahead of ourselves, Chad Wamble. I told you, this guy's all over the place. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. All right, now, Geno has played well. But to go out there and say that we have the best quarterback, okay, the stats are good. His passer rating has been great. His completion percentage has been great. I would go ahead and say that it's skewed a bit. Okay, it's a foolish notion to suggest that Geno Smith is the best quarterback in any division. Anyways, well, 30 minutes came up pretty quick on this one. Again, there wasn't a whole lot to say this week this time around. If the game had ended with a win, we could talk a lot about what things went right. That's the kind of way it goes, right? No matter what happens, if the kick in week one was 1.5 to its right, Denver wins that game, and we talk about how bad this team played week one against Russell Wilson's Broncos. But instead, he missed the kick, And we take those very same bits of information and talk about how good we were. Some people did. You know, I got a lot of flack from a few people, you know, when I said, guys, no, the defense is not good. I hope everybody recognizes this in the group, you know, that was part of that conversation. Hope you're recognizing what I was saying after week one. The defense is horrible. Defense is not good. God, what was the guy's name that I went back and forth with? I haven't seen him since then. Maybe he was a troll or a bot or something. I don't know. But he hasn't said nothing since then. Yeah, the team is not good. We got some fortunate breaks in week one. We haven't got those breaks in week two or in week three. And that's why you end with L's instead of W's. And typically in Seahawk fashion, once the defense starts playing right, the offense starts sputtering. It's a shame. Detroit Lions this week coming up on the road, 4-point dogs. Maybe we'll have something better to talk about next week. Give a listen to my friends at Seattle Sports Union. Seattle Sports Union, everything Seattle sports, from the Mariners to the Mist. And, of course, we're Seattle Seahawks, our Seattle Seahawks. Tune in to SeattleSportsUnion.com on the web, at Seattle Sports U on Twitter and Facebook. Catch us on Podbean. Hear the belly aching of one Abraham Deweese, Matthew Page, Brian Solak, and the rest of the team. Rich Michelson. And every once in a while, myself on there as well. We get up there and we talk Seahawks. And so far this year, it's been, you know, a lot of belly aching, a lot of woo, a lot of sadness. But hopefully we could turn this around pretty soon and have something better to talk about. Well, that's the podcast. This is Robert English, your SoCal Seahawk. I'm signing off. Go Hawks.